systems are offline.
Number one.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Mason in the air.
So I brought the crew in today to talk about net neutrality. On December 14th, 2017, net neutrality died. Ajit Pai got the FCC's Republican majority to approve a plan to gut net neutrality protections. And Nathan's here with the scoop.
Ajit. It's a something Pai, however you pronounce this guy's name.
Play the Google.
Okay, so I've pulled it up on Google Translate. We're going to find out how you were supposed to actually pronounce his name. The real questions here.
Ajit Pai.
Just one more time for everybody, but this time it's going to be the American pronunciation. Apparently Google Translate thinks that his name is Hindi.
Ajit Pai.
So we should all say it like that. Ajit Pai. Anyways, Ajit Pai, with the Republican majority, gained the approval for Title II regulations to be removed from the FCC's regulation on ISPs. But in any case, what would you like to know about net neutrality today, Mason?
Y'all had plenty to say about net neutrality.
Oh, I've got plenty to say.
I've got all of the facts.
I want you to line it out for me. You've got your fancy papers here.
Why do people hate him?
Why does everyone hate him?
Because
he looks like a sleazebag.
He does.
No. They all...
Wait, no. Show Nathan a picture.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
I'm not judging a book by its cover. I'm judging a book by that terrible face.
Okay, don't judge a book by its cover photo.
I think Chet just did a Z snap over there. Like, okay.
Well,
can you do it again for us, Chet?
A Z snap.
Yeah.
Anyway, realistically, why does everyone hate this guy, and why are there so many memes about him?
In my opinion, pandering. He released a video on YouTube a couple days ago showing, I think it was like 7 things that you can still do without net neutrality.
Net neutrality is the principle that internet service providers must treat all data on the internet the same and not discriminate or change differently by user, content, website, platform, application, type of attached equipment, or method of communication. For instance, under these principles, internet service providers are unable to intentionally block, slow down, or charge money for specific websites and online content.
Basically, what was implemented in 2015 under the Obama administration were Title II regulations, which were essentially what were just described, and is what we know as net neutrality, are these Title II regulations that give the FCC the authority to say your internet service provider can't say, if you want to access Netflix, you're going to have to pay us in addition to your charge to use Netflix in general. Your internet service provider can't say it's going to cost you 99 cents per Google search. They can't say we're going to sell you a package and this package only includes social media websites. So maybe it has Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, whatever else on their Instagram. Or they couldn't just say we have a streaming package where you can only access Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, Crunchyroll, things like that.
I'll come right back to you. Sorry, I want to explain. So that's actually what it was supposed to do when Obama helped the FCC vote in favor of strong net neutrality rules in February of 2015. But unfortunately, now companies are able to do all of those things. They can charge you for Google searches. They can charge you for bandwidth. Donna had something to say.
Well, no, I was just going to summarize what Ian was saying was that it's basically non-discriminatory terms and conditions for all people who have internet.
Unless your name is Donna. Donna's allowed to discriminate about whatever she wants.
I don't think that's true, but...
Obama ruled in favor of that proposal in April of 2012. No, I'm just making fun of...
The question is, should net neutrality be a basic human right for everyone to have, or should internet companies or whatever... Other companies use internet for their own uses.
I think that's something that we take for granted right now, because as of right now in the United States at least, you pay for internet service, and some companies don't offer the option for an unlimited plan, especially depending on your cell phone providers, but you are typically at home offered an unlimited plan, except for AT&T, where they still charge based on the gigabytes like they're a cell phone provider.
AT&T is also not providing a direct connection into your house, which is, it's understandable, you're essentially paying for phone service to your regular stuff at home.
Well, we could go on this all day, because they also charge you for phone service. But at any rate, I think we take for granted as citizens of America that we pay one total price for internet typically, and that's we may be charged for overages. We may be charged for overages like data caps and things like that, but you have never in your existence been charged more based on the websites that you used. You're already paying Netflix, you're already paying Hulu, $9 a month, $7 a month, and you're able to access this content because you have an all-inclusive amount of internet provided to your home now. But without the protection of net neutrality, a company could choose to say, you know, users that have a Netflix account use more bandwidth than others, so now we can charge this amount for overages, this amount for bandwidth allocation, or they could just charge you a flat rate. That's entirely up to the company. The companies could decide to charge you per gigabyte per movie that you watch on Netflix. So not only are you paying Netflix $10 a month, but you could be paying hundreds of dollars a month. You know, imagine getting a surprise bill that was like, I thought this was only going to be $56. Here's $350 because you binged on The Travelers. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think it's sad that Pornhub cares more about our rights than other companies?
I think there are plenty of companies that care about our rights, including, and this gives me an opportunity to talk about EPB in Chattanooga. Here in Chattanooga, we have fiber optics provided us by EPB.
That is not a sponsorship. We just really like their service because it's great.
We do really like their service, and they have assured us that their fiber network is already in place, so they don't plan on changing any of their policies when it comes to net neutrality. Pornhub... I had to clear my throat there.
I'm sure you did.
Obviously, Pornhub has to voice its opinion because compare the two websites. Compare Pornhub.com, and we'll just consider it to be, you know, a company, just whether or not it's probably owned by an individual. But consider Pornhub.com in comparison to Netflix or comparison to Verizon. They are not even a voice, really, that the FCC is going to listen to when it comes to, you know, do we care what Pornhub thinks during this meeting? You know what I mean? That you've got Verizon on one phone call and Pornhub on the other. They probably hung up the phone on Pornhub. But that brings a very important topic to light because it's the small websites that are going to suffer from net neutrality. It's going to keep smaller websites from being able to make it. And compared to Facebook, if I had the option to allocate more bandwidth to Facebook because Facebook paid me to do that, I'm keeping your viewing experience on other websites like Pornhub, like Purple.com and all of these stupid websites from being as enjoyable. I'm essentially training you that your experience is better on certain websites. And tell me how long you would spend on a website if it didn't load. It maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah.
If you tried to go to Pornhub and watch your little fetish thing, Donna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You like to go and make sure that your segments were recorded correctly, I'm sure.
Especially the ones on Pornhub.
That's exactly what I mean. You know, you've got to make sure the angles are right in the video, but
it takes 30 years for it to load. What's the point?
Exactly. You would be there for 5 seconds and you would think, wow, can I just watch this on Facebook?
No, I'd be like, well, at least nobody else is going to sit and wait for this to load either.
Facebook would like, no, flagged for nudity. No, flagged for sexual expression. No. So, like, they wouldn't even let you post it there. So.
Assuming I have a video. Yes.
Donna, you wouldn't even have a part-time job if these companies decided to throttle.
Her eyes right now. It's like, would you please shut the hell up?
I'm just kidding. She's never coming back on my show. She's screw off, Mason.
So, on one aspect, we have the monetary side of it. They charge you more for these certain aspects of it. On one side of it, we have the internet service providers deciding what content you can and can't see based off what would be included in their packages that don't exist yet, though they do in other countries. But you'd only be able to access those things in the package, so they're limiting what you can actually see. And then on another side, we've got a privacy aspect to it as well. The reason Pornhub gets brought into the conversation is because they'll actually route a lot of your traffic through other servers and through all kinds of other areas on the internet before you actually get to Pornhub. That way, what you're actually searching when you get to their website can't be monitored by your ISP. The reason part of the net neutrality rules are kind of controversy with regards to them being removed is because, obviously, if they can decide to charge you for a Google search, they can also record what you are Google searching. They can also record what each individual keystroke you're typing into your computer is, as long as it's through a web browser, which is a huge privacy concern to most Americans.
So there are numerous examples of network providers engaging in content or user discrimination that will only grow with net neutrality. This year, Time Warner's AOL, which apparently AOL is owned now by Time Warner.
Yeah, because AOL
Cable,
and AIM and Yahoo Messenger.
That
are all
sounds
still
like
things.
A great investment. At any rate, this year, Time Warner's AOL blocked all emails that mentioned www.dearaol.com, an advocacy campaign opposing AOL's pay-to-send email scheme. So there was ultimately someone that came out and exposed, you know, AOL for certain practices when it came to their, you know, the difference in the email service you would receive if you paid for it versus the free option that they had. You know, the reliability of that email service was one thing that was in question, but when emails came through to AOL servers explaining the difference between those two issues, you know, AOL blocked those emails. So your email is at stake. Google, which I doubt, and I put my foot behind this, I doubt Google is going to do anything to control your internet use, maybe report it. One thing that I do know about Google is that they track you.
Yeah.
But I do believe that Google is a pro-neutrality
company. Oh, definitely, because
company.
It would affect their own traffic as well.
That's correct. But imagine waiting on an important email, or imagine someone contacting you for a job and, you know, you're blocked because AOL doesn't believe in Amazon. You know what I mean? They're not going to talk about Amazon's website on AOL servers. So now you've lost an opportunity to get a job at Amazon. Just because it had the keyword Amazon in the email, they've automatically filtered that out. And you've lost a job opportunity. We haven't been able to really see online how we will be affected, because we're not all Verizon customers. We are not all fiber optic internet customers. I mean, all of the situations are different and our listeners have different experiences, but take a second and picture how irritated you would be to only receive a few of the emails that you normally get.
Oh, well, you mean if they filter out spam for me? That's not spam.
Well, I'm saying if they filter out, yes, essentially, and it's a terrible thing to get spam, and that's probably something that those companies are going to be able to do now, but look, some of these smaller websites only have the email option. They can only afford to advertise via email, and I don't believe in spam, but I do believe that is just another way that they can cut the small boys out of play. Think about the monopoly that these major internet companies are going to have now, and that the ISPs are going to have now. Time Warner Cable is one of the biggest companies in America, and that includes anything that you knew about Trump. That includes anything that you knew about any major company. Time Warner is in every state.
The issue is less of if an already internet giant like Google or Amazon is going to become the overlord of the internet and more.
No, I'm not talking about Google or AOL. I'm talking about
anyone that's partnered with somebody that is an internet service provider.
Yeah, that's correct. But they control what you're allowed to access. And imagine what if I told you that you were only allowed to shop at Walmart and that you were not going to be able to drive your car to any other stores because Walmart has paid me to allow road traffic directly to them. How would you feel about your shopping experience? How would you feel about your freedom as an American? If I told you that because I owned this section of road, I'm only going to allow you to drive to Walmart on it. I think that's a perfect example of feeding an existing monopoly.
This section of road that your tax dollars happened to maybe help create.
Exactly. This section that you paid for, but I own it for whatever reason. You know, why would you only be allowed to go to Walmart? That is an exploitation of my freedom. And that brings me to several other points, but I think Donna had something else to say about the Pornhub segment.
Not Pornhub, okay.
Hey, you brought it up.
I did bring it up because it's interesting.
No, Pornhub's interesting. Trust me, I'm a man.
He's got a VR headset.
I do. I do need a VR headset.
Anyway. So, this is for a different website. So, for YouTube, imagine how it's going to impact YouTube, because it's basically just based on you're being able to watch videos for free without really commercials, and you don't have to pay a subscription for it. Imagine how that's going to change. And how it's going to change YouTubers, actually, who make a living on YouTube, and now people will have to pay to have that subscription on YouTube, and probably a lot of people aren't going to pay for it, because that's not what YouTube was meant for.
But I'm going to interject here for a minute, and then I'm going to hand it over to Chet, because he's been patiently quiet over here for quite a while now. I'm going to force him to speak. But regardless, all of the things we're saying right now is what could happen, what might happen in the future. It's all speculation at the moment, but that the problem is, why should they have the option to do that? And I'm not particularly one who is for government oversight on everything, but I personally consider the internet in today's day and age to be a utility, which is what Title II is for. It is for utilities, like phone service, like TV service, like radio service. The internet is just as much a medium for people to gather and share information as any of the things that I previously said, and it should be under Title II regulations.
Well, think about... I forgot it was Chet's turn. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Secretary of State Chet Morris.
Patiently quiet, Chet Morris.
Oh, I mean, all I really have to say is I think it's becoming a sort of disturbing precedent in the Trump era for... The people who voted against net neutrality and the people who voted to destroy it, it was a 3-5. And so there was one person in that five-person committee that made the difference.
And that was Mr. Pitt.
It was.
Or Pie. Yeah. Pie, sorry.
It was two people voting against and two people voting for, and Ajit Pai made the decision. And I think it is a disturbing precedent in today's society, because net neutrality right now has 75% people say that net neutrality rules should stay in place, and that number varies from 75 to as high as 85. And so the majority of Americans do believe that net neutrality is an important regulation to keep in place.
And most state governments do. It seems that apparently there are 17 states in total that are already planning to sue. Attorneys general from Washington, Illinois, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Oregon, Vermont, the District of Columbia, Massachusetts, and several more are already planning to repeal the FCC's decision, some of them claiming even that the FCC does not have the authority to make these decisions about our internet access.
And that's not even bringing into account the conflict of interest between Ajit Pai and Verizon. You know, just the fact that he's the head of the FCC to begin with is absolutely absurd.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he was appointed by the Trump administration. Is that...
Yes, he was appointed by the Trump administration. That doesn't mean that he should be... That should even be allowed.
Well, there have been recently... Okay, for instance, and I'm just going to take this off on a quick sidetrack so we can talk about the Trump administration's appointments.
I'm sure I'll be appointed.
And their credibility. There was... Trump's pick for Supreme Court justice had never before tried a case on a bench. They were asking him questions, and I don't know all of the legal theories, but, you know, I'm just going to make this up. Do you know what a motion for appeal is? And the guy was like, you know, no, I have to let you know that this will be my first time on a bench. And we're talking about a judge of the Supreme Court. So imagine how much Trump cared in his appointment research for the FCC. I don't think Trump gave a damn who he put in there, as long as it lined his pockets in some way. I bet I would not be surprised if Verizon rents space in the Trump Tower. I would honestly not be surprised if maybe Verizon sponsored, you know, a dinner at Trump's golf club. Have you guys seen Trump lately? I know he's definitely been golfing. You know. But anyway, back to net neutrality. I really honestly don't think it's going to be a big deal for long, because there are so many states that the attorneys general are standing up to fight, not to mention the private companies, not to mention
just the general population.
That's correct. Wait till we actually start experiencing
the backlash from this.
The backlash from this, and I think there's going to be an uproar, personally.
But... And something that's also...
This podcast is probably going to be blocked.
Yeah.
But something that I do find I guess, kind of conniving is that, you know, if you put somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing with regards to being a judge in the position of being a judge, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of people that need to come up and fight against something that's going on, who's the one deciding whether or not they're right? Oh, that's right, the judge that doesn't know what they're doing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I can't justify why Trump is in office any more than I can justify a theory about a flat earth, to be completely honest. I cannot come up with a good reason that he should even be within meters of the building. I don't know that he had ever visited the White House before he was president. I had never heard of any Trump aspiration to be even the secretary of dessert settlements. I mean, why is he president? More so than that, how did we allow the FCC to vote against net neutrality? And it's probably partially based on the fact that those positions are not elected. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but the positions that are deciding on law that we have to abide by are not even elected positions. And I think that there has to be an amendment somewhere in the Constitution that violates. There's a reason why we elect officials to represent us and create the laws and pass the bills that we do. Why is the FCC immune from those articles? Why is the FCC appointed?
Well, I can't quote the Constitution. I don't know exactly what would and wouldn't be allowed with regards to that.
I wouldn't expect you to.
Well, I do believe that the Founding Fathers didn't intend for a federal government to have as much power as it does. I think it was mostly supposed to belong to the states, but regardless, that's not the case anymore.
And I think a large thing in them not being elected, and that is constitutional for them to be chosen, just like the secretaries of various departments, chairmen of boards, like the FCC, the National Park Service, the CDC, they are chosen by the president per the Constitution. But the real question is, because they have to be verified by Congress, should Congress have the power to go against the people's will and choosing, and against the people's will in deciding what direction they want these committees to go in?
Well, I think that's why we have almost 500 members of Congress, to make sure that between...
Well, each one of them needs their own jacket labeling who's sponsoring them to begin with, but...
Well, I agree with that, but that's why there's supposed to be almost 500 of them in total, to create some sort of checks and balances system. At least create enough uproar on the losing side that, you know, they made noise enough for attorneys to step in and to make the difference. We may lose the vote, but that doesn't mean it won't ever be repealed. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
There's a reason why those checks and balances systems are in place, and I just wanted to take a moment and let everybody know that this episode of Mason in the Attic was sponsored by Pornhub.com/Donna's Candy is the URL that you can go to.
Yeah, and I would not be surprised if that's a real URL.
No, you're not
me.
I'm not part of this.
She just Z-snapped and said, trademark.
Nice.
Chapter systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Mason in the Attic.